Well, for those of you who heard the Christmas Eve gospel last night or last year or whatever, from Luke, well, you'll notice something different. And that's actually something different beyond the fact that I extended a few verses from what was in the lectionary and did it to Margaret ahead of time. So, sorry, Margaret. But I think it's better if we hear the whole thing. This different language, really different language, about how God's logos, God's word that spoke creation into being, that same light that darkness could not overcome, the one that John the Baptist was sent to announce, that one has come into the world. And we hear it today in the intoxicating language of philosophers and mystics. It's a really different story. But it's the same story, or rather, it too is part of a bigger story. In the beginning was the Word. Does that sound a little familiar? Try. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And God said, Word, you detect a theme here? The words are intentional. They're supposed to recall the account of creation in Genesis. Later on, our gospel says, and the Word was made flesh and lived among us. That's also very intentional language. The word for flesh is one of two possible Greek words that might have been used here. The gospel writer chose to use the one that means not just body or human person or anything else that might be taken in some sort of spiritual way. Now, the word flesh used here, sarx, is really meat, flesh. You can't really take it to mean anything else. And just in case we still don't get it, it goes, and lived among us. The words here reflect the presence of the Lord with the Hebrew people. The word lived among us means literally tented with us. You know, moved in, set up housekeeping. In Old Testament translation that the Greek-speaking gospel writers knew, it's the same term that's used for tabernacle. God living with us. John starts his gospel in a different place from the other three gospel writers. It starts with creation, then moves to John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Establishing Jesus as Christ, the Son of God, from before creation, and John has a witness to testify to the light that's come into the world. And it goes on from there. The gospel writer in John's community wanted to be really, really, really clear that Jesus was from the Father. There was never, never, ever, ever, as one early church controversy, there was never a time when he was not. And in John's gospel, there's never a time when Jesus is not the Son of God, the divine Logos. Okay, now you put both stories together. The Logos, the Word of the Creator God of the cosmos, one who existed from before creation, born to poor peasants at the edge of empire, a vulnerable newborn infant. That's a pretty good illustration of what the psychologists would call cognitive dissonance. The discomfort of holding two or more conflicting pieces of information or perceptions at the same time. The sort of thing that you think is going to make your head explode. And just in case your head hasn't exploded yet from trying to hold these two very different ideas in tension, John's gospel also makes the really startling thing. But all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. God, the creator of the cosmos, born human, born like us, giving us power to become like him, children of God. The first letter of Peter describes it as like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's quite a commission, isn't it? Quite a bit more demanding of me than a lot of the baby Jesus stories. Children of God, God's own people, that you may proclaim him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now it's worth noting that in this faith community, the history and present, it's full of instances of becoming living stones and being called out of darkness into light. Those who established the parish had to build a building three times before the fourth one. Those who come here seeking and finding healing and reconciliation. Those whose life in Christ was nurtured here from the beginning or for a period of time. And those who discovered a vocation of service in this place. Living stones, a royal priesthood.